Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, this morning we'll be hearing from three speakers, and our speakers are from the Epsom Saturday morning meeting, as Bill sees it, and they meet every Saturday morning at the Epsom Community Hall, and you can find them at 200 Gillies Ave in Epsom, right here in Auckland. So thanks, guys, for coming in this morning to share your experience, strength and hope about your journey of recovery from alcoholism. So to start the sharing, T, do you want to start?
Certainly. Hi, I'm T. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, T.
Hi, T.
I once heard sort of alcoholism described as the man took a drink and then the drink took the drink and then the drink took the man. And I guess at a very young age, I sort of skipped step two and just pretty much it was the drink took the man very quickly. And my drinking was characterised by very fast drinking and then passing out. And that was pretty much what my drinking was. It put me in lots of unsafe situations. And I didn't drink often. I didn't need to do that to know that it had control over me, that, it became more important than the relationships in my life. It became more important than sort of holding a job or doing any of those other sort of normal sort of responsibilities that normal people do. I didn't seem to manage those very well. Alcohol it ruled sort of my existence. So I guess I was very blessed that somebody recognised that, gave me some advice, and that was to go and talk to someone about it. And this person was somebody who was in recovery, who had a bit of time up and had opened their door to me without even meeting me, saying that, the hand of AA was extended to me. And I knew in that moment that that was a person that I needed to talk to. And within 2 weeks, I was in a treatment centre and I was on my journey. And I was 21. So, I'm 47 now, and I've spent many years in these rooms now, and I have learned a few things. And one is to remain in the rooms. That helps. I did leave these rooms for a while after 4 years of committed service to going to AA. I left these rooms and came to Auckland, was doing some study, and to this day I can't tell you why I left, just that I left. And 4.5 years later, they talk about this disease as being sort of patient and, doing those press-ups while you're not sort of aware of it. And, the planets lined up, the right people, places and things all lined up. And I'd forgotten that add alcohol to me, and I'm very soon going to get to that place of the drink took the man, and I'm going to sort of lose those people and lose those relationships that are very dear to me. So that's what happened. I do know now that I come to AA firstly because I've been loved back to health in these rooms, secondly I love the people, but thirdly to remember that add alcohol to me, and it's not pretty. And I lose my way very quickly, and I lose those dear to me very quickly. So what this program has given to me has a very simple set of, I guess, tools, a program for living that's based in me having a relationship with a God of my understanding. And today, you know, I have some very simple little rituals that I do. And one is getting up in the morning and doing a reading. And, you know, I catch the bus to work, and that's my time for God. I make sure I don't do anything other than sort of just say to God, you know, if I've got a question, I'll ask a question. If I haven't, I'll say, what's your will for me today, God? Or as an example today, even getting to this meeting, I wasn't quite sure sort of how I was going to get here. But, you know, I just trust that the right people and the right set of circumstances will turn up. And I've learned to trust that over the years. I trust that the more faith I put in that higher power, the more magic seems to happen. And all I have to do is sort of make time for that relationship. And like any sort of relationship, the more time you spend with it, the deeper it gets. So, you know, I've spending more time with that relationship with God, and you know, God speaks through other people. So, you know, I hear my higher power speaking through people at meetings. I hear my higher power speaking through books, through all sorts of things. And today that helps me not pick up that first string, to remain connected, to do service. You know, I'm lucky to give back. And I remember my sponsor once saying to me, the biggest act of service you can do is just to listen. To truly listen to another alcoholic share their story is an act of service. And I've never forgotten that. So a good measure for where I'm at in my recovery is how well I listen in a meeting to another alcoholic. And if I'm thinking about what I'm going to be sharing and what great pearls of wisdom I have for you, then I'm not listening. You know, it gives me a good gauge for where I'm at. So, you know, recovery has given me, you know, talk about a life beyond my wildest dreams. Certainly, I have options and possibilities open to me that utterly astound me. You know, I get to travel the length and breadth of the country. I get to do something that I wake up every morning to and go, you know what, I make a difference. And it was a very different story to, you know, to 25 years ago, sitting at the back of a house, you know, coughing up blood because I had pneumonia, and having somebody say, you know, reach out their hand. So, you know, it's taken some time. And that's another thing, you know, just some things just take time. And I guess following those steps and having a sponsor has helped. You know, one of the things that I'm blessed to have is a sort of a routine that includes my sponsor in it on a regular weekly basis. You know, I catch up with him on my way to the meeting that I go to, and we have a bit of he has a bit of a share, and I have a bit of a share, and those sorts of things keep me tuned in, keep me sort of downloaded with stuff that I don't need to carry around for the day. And you know, this is all these sorts of things have come from choosing to turn up to a meeting, not picking up that first drink, to having to pray when I'm feeling stressed, to picking up a phone and ringing somebody in recovery, or yeah, when I need help. Also picking up a phone when I don't need help, you know, when I just want to make contact. You know, one of the things about the fellowship that's helped me is feeling loved back into health. And I could truly say that this fellowship has done just that. And I feel very blessed to be a part of my Epsom Saturday morning, as Bill says, at toast meeting. You know, I heard somebody say that, you know, once they came to that meeting because they came for the toast. You know, they were so beaten by life that and poor that's they came to that meeting for toast. But you know, today they're still they're years sober now and giving a great message. So it was, you know, that meeting provides food in lots of different ways, I suppose. Food for the soul, food for my stomach, and a group of people who understand me, who get where I'm at, who get that that when a man takes a drink, then the drink will take the drink, and then the drink will take the man. And it's a privilege to have people who understand that and to be able to share my life with them in a very meaningful way. So, I think I'll leave it there. Yeah, thanks.
Great. Thanks, T. You're on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. And our speakers this morning are from the Epsom Saturday morning meeting, as Bill sees it. And you'll find them at the Epsom Community Centre at 200 Gillies Ave every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here in Auckland. Our second sharer this morning is Adrian.
Thanks. Hi, my name's Adrian. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Jean.
Hi. Experience, strength and hope. My drinking went on for many years. I think when I first picked up a drink alcoholically, it was sort of revealed to me that I was an alcoholic. There was a family background with alcoholism. I can remember it. I think it was about 14, and I had a girlfriend. We were at her parents' house, and we decided it was a good idea to raid the parents' liquor cabinet. So, I sort of loved it and hated it, and went into blackout, and knew that, you know, this was for me, because I grew up, even as a young person, feeling, insecure and less than. And I've often heard that people with an alcoholic background have these emotional tendencies. It did for me anyway, not fitting in. Just sort of feeling on the outside looking in. So to find this sort of elixir that, you know, this powerful drink that just seemed to have this change, and that's what happened to me. I'd have this personality change. And it was, the addiction was sort of there right from the beginning, and it went on for many years. I first came into AA or knew of AA, I was sort of hustled in when I was in my late 20s, packed off to Hanmer Springs, which is a treatment centre, so in the middle of the South Island. And I remember feeling terribly resentful. I think a family member sent me down to Christchurch, and as soon as I got to the bar, I drank there. So I was in a bit of a mess when I first came into treatment. But the fog cleared, and it probably sowed the seed when I was at Hanmer that I had a disease. I wasn't a bad person, you know. I probably had difficulty sort of accepting that. It sort of gave me the seeds, and I came back to Auckland and went to young people's meetings quite a long time ago. But I wasn't ready. I remember reading the big book, which is Alcoholics Anonymous, and I wasn't ready. So I picked up again. Probably had about 18 months in the fellowship at that time. Huge meetings that they had, but I wasn't ready. So I went out and drank again, and I left Auckland at one stage and went and lived in the South Island. And, I sort of managed to hold on to some sort of life sort of down there, sort of married and worked and things like that. I also had an addiction to prescription pills, but managed to come off those. I just feel I was an addictive person, but alcohol was my primary addiction. Yeah, so it took me a long time. I have a lovely husband today, but when I met my partner, he recognised, my problem with alcoholism and gave me ultimatums, and that was probably one of the things that, you know, got me to look at my life. Did I want to do something about this? I also had two very supportive and caring sisters who, you know, recognised my problem, my ringing up late at night, making phone calls, struggling at work. I worked for a few years in a bank, and people around me was just starting to pick up that my alcoholism was getting worse, personality changes, yeah, just this, the whole thing of hiding alcohol, disguising alcohol, just this awful craving that we experience being an alcoholic. Yeah, it was never enough. You know, once I started, I couldn't stop. Yeah, and just the whole thing. And I'd go to a party with my husband and didn't want to come home. I just wanted to keep drinking, or I'd come home and he'd find me, you know, sort of collapsed, listening to Maudlin music in the wee small hours of the morning. Yeah, just all those sorts of things. And, you know, I had a niece that was in AA, and she actually went to, as Bill sees it, our Epsom meeting. So it was probably one of my first meetings, and it just felt right coming into this room of other recovered alcoholics. And for the first time in a long time, it sort of fit. I felt that I belonged there. But it took a long time. It probably took at least 2 years with some of the fog to sort of lift. I was sort of nervous about sharing, so I sort of did a bit of hiding in the rooms when I came in. But yeah, it's just there's been some, you know, just wonderful changes in my life today, and I've been in for a little while. I love this meeting because at Epsom, as Bill sees it, because we have, as the speaker before, T talked about, we had toast. And it was just sort of, yeah, welcoming and, and some of the people are still there today from when I first went. And little by little, I started to do service, got encouraged, found a sponsor. And my sponsor wasn't at that meeting, but she would sometimes come to this, and she's an amazing woman who just supported and listened and helped me work the 12 steps of AA. I probably was resistant at first to the spiritual, you know, sort of part of AA, finding a God of my understanding, because a lot of my trust and, yeah, resentments and things, I didn't want to sort of go there. Not that I'd had a particularly religious background, but I guess trust and things. But slowly but surely I found God of my own understanding, which is, you know, what AA is about. There were no sort of laws, or we can all believe what we want to believe. Yeah, and so, you know, it's been an incredible journey, and they talk about in the big book the promises of having this life, you know, way better than any of my drinking could have been. And there were just slow, sure things that sort of came. I've gotten to a job that I love. I support people now with mental health issues and alcoholism and recovery. So that's been great for my recovery. I've worked for some years in that organisation. Yeah, so, you know, I'm very grateful today to you know, to live the life that I've always wanted, that I never found when I was drinking. You know, friendships, my friendships have, you know, about a lot of people in the fellowship with other women and things. So, you know, I encourage people that do have a problem, you know, try AA. Yeah, because that's where I found my journey. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Adrian. You're on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. Our speakers this morning are from the Epsom Saturday morning as Bill sees it group, and they meet at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning, and you can find them at 200 Gillies Ave in Epsom right here in Auckland. And our last speaker this morning is Mike. Where's you?
Thank you, Steve. My name's Mike, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mike.
Our stories all have a lot of similarities, but I'll take you back to my flat in Surrey in England in 1996, and it's May, and I'd fallen over a coffee table, as you do if you've drunk as much as I had, and I had a bruise on the right-hand side of my stomach the same size as an A4 piece of paper, black and blue, and it really hurt. My mother persuaded me to go to the doctor. And I went in and he said, how many fingers am I holding out? Walk in a straight line, took some urine, took some blood, and said, come back in a couple of days. On the 29th of May, 1996, I went back. He met me with a smile because he could tick all the boxes except one, for which he needed to call Chertsey Hospital for the results of my gamma GT test. And after a few seconds nodding on the phone, he put the receiver down and his chin dropped, almost in harmony with the receiver. And he looked at me and he said, "Mike, how did you get here?" And I giggled and walked. I said, "I walked." And he said, "You can't have done, you're dead." He said, "Your gamma GT reading for normal people is 50. At 100, the police take your license away. At 500, you are medically, clinically dead. And your gamma GT is 2,437. He said, "You have one more lick of chocolate and good night, Vienna." And we giggled. On my way home, I remember looking up to the skies and saying, "Why am I still alive?" I got back to my room and went to the end of my bed, got on my knees and said, "God, just for today, take away the urge to drink." I phoned my sponsor, who poured all the rest of the liquor that was in my apartment away and stayed with me for the rest of the day. And that evening, I went to the end of my bed again and I said, "Thank you." For somebody who's been in 5 rehabs and 2 hospitals in straitjackets, who's had all the sweats, the DTs, and all the things that go with recovery, it was different this time. When I first went to treatment in 1990, they put us into minivans and drove us to meetings where they said things like, "Keep coming back. It works if you work it. Pick up the phone before you pick up a drink. Get yourself a sponsor. Fake it to make it. Don't leave till the miracle has happened." Of course, I knew better because I was intelligent. I read this big book in 6 hours. I learned how to talk the talk. And I went out and 3 months later, I did exactly what I wanted to do, was just what they had suggested I didn't do. This time I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. When I went into treatment, I had a 4-bedroom house, a lovely wife, 2 cars, a tennis court, and 2 wonderful sons. Now, in 1996, I had nothing. I'd lost it all. I had nowhere else to go. I started listening to those simple suggestions. I started listening for the similarities and not the differences. I started to take the suggestions off the wall and put them into my life. And one day at a time, for me, 18 years later, I can evidence that the promises that Adrian mentioned in the big book do come to pass. The instructions are so very, very simple. We didn't ever say easy. But it's just a question of living one day at a time and doing what we've done. And if what you want, what we have, and are painstaking about this process of your recovery, you will find a life beyond your wildest dreams. You will enjoy what we enjoy, the serenity of a sober life. You don't have to go that far. This disease is progressive. It's like an elevator that keeps on going down. You can get off at any stage, but if you can get back on, the elevator just goes down. And down is down to the death, or if you're lucky, or a soft brain, or a miserable life. So just get off the lift, surrender, hand your will and your life over to a power greater than yours. When I first came to the rooms, my higher power was this group of drunks, G-O-D, that were sitting around me. they knew better between them than I had ever known. Get out of the driving seat, hand over the keys and let them drive. The chances are they'll get you to where you want to go safer than if you take over. It might not be in your speed or in your direction, but at the end of the day, they will get you there better than you could yourself. And never forget to say thank you. Thank you for being there for me. And we'll see you at As Bill Sees It on Saturday.
Thanks, Mike. A couple of times during the sharing this morning, we've mentioned about the promises, and I thought I would read them out. This is out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it goes as follows. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experiences can benefit others. That feeling of usefulness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away, and our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us, and we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realise that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises?
We think not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly and sometimes slowly. They will always materialise if we work for them. We've also talked about acceptance this morning, so I thought I'd read something about acceptance out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And this is out of the story, Acceptance was the Answer, on page 417 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed, it is because I find some person, place, thing or situation, some fact of my life, unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, thing or situation as being exactly the way that it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. Until I can accept my alcoholism, I cannot stay sober unless I accept life completely on life's terms. I cannot be happy. I need to concentrate not so much on what needs to be changed in the world as on what needs to be changed in me and my attitudes. For years, I was sure the worst thing that could happen to a nice guy like me would be that I would turn out to be an alcoholic. Today, I find it's the best thing that has ever happened to me. This proves I don't know what's good for me. And if I don't know what's good for me, then I don't know what's good or bad for you or anyone. So I'm better off if I don't give advice, just figure I know what's best and just accept life on life's terms as it is today, especially my own life as it actually is. Before AA, I judged myself by my intentions while the world was judging me by my actions. Well, this brings us towards the end of our meeting this morning. Thanks for coming in this morning, guys. It's been great having you here. As I said, the speakers have been from the Epsom Saturday morning meeting, and they meet every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And As Bill Sees It is the name of the group, and they meet at the Epsom Community Hall at 200 Gillies Ave. And you'll find them in Epsom right here in Auckland every Saturday morning. Now, if you've been listening this morning and you want help with your drinking or you identify with the speakers, you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. There are also many meetings in Auckland. There's over 100 meetings each week in the Greater Auckland area. And if you want to know more about that, log on to aa.org.nz for a full list of the meetings in Auckland and up and down the country. So thanks, guys, for coming in. Appreciate you giving up your time. We'll be here next Saturday morning at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. So we'll close our meeting with a serenity prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
If you want to hear this program again, you can log on to planetaudio.org.nz/AA Meeting on Air.